Adonai Elohim, Abba Father. Adonai Elohim, Mighty God. Adonai Elohim, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we come to you, Master, in the name of Jesus, guided by your Spirit, washed by the blood, asking for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace, your counsel, correction, and direction. Please search us through. Remove those things that offend you and cause us to stumble. Bring your light and truth into every area of our life, loosing us from the bounds of carnality, carnal reasoning, and filling us with your Spirit that we may be one with you, allowing us to walk with you heart to heart, mind to mind, will to will, that our desires are long as your desires. Establish our steps, our thoughts, and position us towards no longer we that live, but you that live, that your kingdom will be manifested in us and through us, and all glory, all honor, and all praise will be brought forth to the name that is above all names, the name above all sicknesses, the name above all infirmities, the name above all labels of this world, the name that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, Savior, Deliverer, and Healer. And that name is Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give somebody a hug. Tell them this is your day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's a wonderful day to die to yourself. What another beautiful day in God's neighborhood, huh? Awesome. Awesome. Would you turn your Bibles to Romans 8, please? Romans 8. We had a wonderful service Friday night. It's powerful. And 19 was so strong, and the Lord shared some things with us that night, and it was just on my heart this morning to bring a little bit more area of what he was revealing to us. And I want to start at verse 12, please. Romans 8, verse 12. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Now, you got to understand that the flesh is according to the worldly ways. It's all called carnality. And what is associated in your flesh is also self. Self. Because you and I were born in the likeness of darkness. We were born in darkness. You were not born in the image and likeness of God. You were born in the image and likeness of darkness. You are born again in the image and likeness of God. Are you listening? It's amazing how many times I hear people say, yeah, well, you were born in the image and likeness of God. How could you be? We're nothing but flesh creatures. That's why we need to be born again. So that we are then born again in his image and likeness. And that image and likeness of Christ is manifested through the Spirit of Christ. That's why the Spirit brings birth. Is everybody okay? So I want you to fully get the understanding when he speaks of flesh, it means carnality, worldliness, and under the authority of Satan. And verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will what? Die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will what? Live. That's why the Bible says he who is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And this is what you need to ask yourself. Am I being led by the Spirit of God or the spirit of the world? And remember this, that who you serve when you die is where you go. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you'll find out when you die. And then it'll be too late. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of what? Bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. It means daddy. That means relationship. See, the Holy Spirit brings relationship, not religion. And when you're baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, there's an area where you know him as Father, not just God. You know that He is a God. You know that He is Savior. You know that He's Lord. But there's something even higher above that. Father. Because now there's a relationship between you and Him, and you are His child, and He is your dad. And verse 16, it says that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then what? Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Now this is powerful because He talks about spirits here. He said that there's a spirit of bondage in there. He speaks of a spirit of fear. And He speaks of a spirit of carnality known as the flesh. And these spirits promote something. They promote the spirit of limitation. And it brings limitations on individuals' lives. It promotes the spirit of limitation that puts a cap on your growth, seducing you with worldliness and nullifying your acceptance and adoption as true sons and daughters. That's His purpose. He'll also nullify your sonship. And He tries to convince you that you are not an offspring of the living Christ. Are you listening? One of the things that the devil tempted Jesus, he always said to Him, if you are the Son of God. One of the things the enemy wants to do is not let you know who you are. If he can prevent you from you knowing who you are, then he's got you in captivity and kept you with limitations. That's why oppression comes. How does oppression come? Because the spirit of oppression comes in and convinces the individual that they're worthless, that they can never get anywhere, no matter what they do is wrong, this, that, whatever. It's bringing them to them. See, when the enemy brings you to you, you fall in the captivity of limitations and don't realize who you are. Because he's not bringing you to the child. He's not bringing you to the servant. He's not bringing you to the son. He's bringing you to self. And when he brings you to self, limitations come. Is everybody okay? Now, Friday night, we did some songs, and right after the song, when we usually pray in, I had a vision. And while we're standing there in the vision, I saw these wave, I mean, huge waves coming in and hitting the shores. And as they kept coming in and beating the shores, these waves, and they were big waves, I saw that was left on the shore was shirts, shorts, pants. All kinds of clothing, all different colors, pink, turquoise, blue, green, all kinds of colors were being left up on the shore. And I kept thinking, man, what is this? And the Lord said to me, these are garments. There's a wave that is coming that is starting, and it started Friday. And it's a move of the Spirit. It's a wave that has come right now that is removing the old garments. And now, He also said to me, because I didn't get into the fullness that night, He shared with me that it was representing materialism. Materialism. He said that the church desires and labors more for materialism than they do souls. I thought, whoa. My church has become weak. And I'm sending a wave of strength. Go to Ephesians 2. Why? Because we must combat the spirit of limitation. Ephesians chapter 2. Removing the old garments representing materialism. Ephesians chapter 2. Start at verse 1, please. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. This is power. The spirit of the world. You know, many people don't realize, they just think that trends and things just happen from Hollywood. The spirit of the world. The Bible tells us that Satan is the ruler of this world. And it talks about the spirit of the power or the prince of air. Prince of power of air. He's the spirit of Antichrist also, who is here. And that spirit directs the course of this world and cuts out the pattern of the world's fashions. Is everybody with me? The world is polluted because Satan's fingers are in it and touching it. Did you ever notice how fashions and trends change? And you've got all of these demonic dresses and dressings and goth and all of gothic, whatever it is. And then you've got all of this other stuff. Now you got hairdos that looks like somebody just put their head in a hair in a press. Look like they're frightened to death. You know, it sticks up. You know. This is all supposed to be. And then you got the ones that they never look like they haven't even gotten out of bed yet. They walk around like they're still asleep. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of fashions and do's, you know. But these trends are not set by God. These trends are set by the ruler of this world, who is Satan. And if you go back in the Old Testament, I'm not going to go there now. In the Old Testament, they used to do something to be outward rebellious towards God. They used to shave their heads and pierce themselves. It was a sign of outward rebellion towards God. Thank God, God doesn't judge us how we dress. Amen. He judges the heart, doesn't he? But see, Satan's still under the old stuff. Not that he's not using new things, but he's still using everything because he knows God knows all things, doesn't he? So he tries to get man to dress according to rebellion to try to get, because see, God wants to use man to get to Satan, but Satan wants to use man to get to God, just like he did with Job. You know, when the Lord called Job, and he called Satan before him, and he said to Satan, he said, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He's an upright man who fears me and shuns evil. And Satan says, oh, really? Well, then remove the hedge of protection from him. Well, see, Job knew how to maintain protection through blood, through sacrifices. And he maintained protection through the blood and sacrifices, and the Lord said, okay, I'll let you do it. And he allowed him to kill all of his livestock so Job could no longer sacrifice animals. But all the stuff that Job went through, it didn't matter. Job still, even his own wife came against him and said, man, why don't you just curse God and die and end this thing? You're being miserable. Look at you. You got boils. You've lost this. All your kids are dead. All the wealth you've had is gone. You're nothing anymore. See, because people look at people according to materialism. Even Job's wife looked at him as materialism because he was a very wealthy man. But there was something. Job didn't rely on his materialism or please man. He trusted and relied on the Lord. And the Lord used Job to get to Satan. And Satan left Job with his tail between his legs. Hurt. Beat up. Because no matter what he tried to do, he couldn't defeat Job. Does everybody get it? See, so God wants to use you to get to Satan as he used Job. And sometimes your trials and tribulations, God is using you to get to Satan. Why? Because if you stand, you maintain, you fight. It's not always how you begin, it's how you end. That's the whole result, isn't it? You may have one decision, but what is the final decision? How did you end that circumstance? How did you end that trial? That's what matters. Did you stand? Did you fight? Did you realize? Did you come to your senses? Or did you get wiped out? That's what matters. See, at that end of that trial, you either bring glory to God or bring glory to the devil. But one of the things that the enemy always trying to do, because he sets the courses, he sets the trends, he sets the fashions to bring limitations on people. So that people fall in love with more carnality and materialism than do God. It's like when I'm telling you, when I saw that, and the Lord revealed to me that the clothing meant materialism, he said, my people are laboring more for materialism than they are for rescuing souls. See, you got to stop sometimes and ask God, show me what I'm doing for you and what I'm not doing for you. Now, you got to remember, it's not what you can do for God, it's what God can do through you. Because you don't want to do things for God in the flesh, you want to do them for him in the spirit. And that's yielding to the spirit. Is everybody okay? Go to Ephesians 6. Spirit of limitations. It's promoted by the spirit of carnality. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. No, let's go to 10. Would you read it with me? Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil or the trickery. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. These are worldly or global forces of darkness that cause war, lust, hatred, and separation from God and brings a self-destruction. These are the global forces of darkness. Does everybody understand that? It's amazing how many people still do not realize that we're fighting powers of darkness. They still think that they're fighting everything else. And remember, it's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become what? And even more and more, and I'm telling you, it's more and more and more and more all the way to the end. Now, in this wave, one of the things that I saw was, as this wave was coming, and it was picking up and changing, it was picking up people and changing things and changing people and changing all kinds of things. But this wave is the beginning that's going to ride everybody that is right with God through the wilderness to the end. But you got to be right with God. Got to stand strong. Is everybody okay? 2 Corinthians 4. In verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Would you read it with me, please? But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Why did it get veiled? Spirit of what? Limitation. See, this spirit will blind you. Even though once you could see, the next thing you realize you can't see no more. It says, whose minds the God of this age, who's the God of this age? Satan has blinded. Who do not believe lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Wow. So blindness is a limitation, isn't it? It's imputed by the spirit of carnality or worldliness. This new wave is going to regain strength. It's going to regain strength. And it's going to regain strength against the forces of this world. To rekindle the fire of God with boldness, holiness, dignity, and honor. Well, I'm going to repeat that. The new wave is to regain strength against the forces of this world, to rekindle the fire of God, which will bring boldness, holiness, dignity, and honor. Boldness, holiness, dignity, and honor. The church has become weak by carnality, false prosperity, false promises, and false hopes. It's been stunning its growth by the spirit of limitation. Instead of converting sinners and perfecting saints with sanctification, it puts its materialism at the forefront and numbers its members like a health club. Do I need to repeat that? Instead of converting sinners and perfecting saints with sanctification, it puts its materialism at the forefront. Numbers, its membership, like a health club. Strength of the church lies on godliness of people walking in the Spirit. Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength, and in His presence is what? Fullness of joy. So that means there's got to be more presence. That's why God is sending this wave right now. We are in it. It is here. It's the beginning. Praise God, huh? Yeah, man. Go to verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Would you read it with me? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Why? Because, see, so many people think because they work hard and they do all things that, and they got materialism, that it's the power of God. Big churches are being built, all kinds of material things, and but that's not the power of God. The power of God, the power of the church, is to maintain a holy life. Does everybody got it? It's the strength of the church that the body, each member, maintain a holy, righteous life and maintain a personal relationship with the Lord. It's not about going out and building things. And there's nothing wrong with building buildings. You know, does everybody understand that? But so many things are putting the emphasis on materialism. It says we are hard pressed on every side, yet what? Not crushed. We are perplexed but not despair. Persecuted but not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to the death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So you are dying to self. I hope. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Glory to God. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore what? We do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day.
Yeah, man.
Because you're dying. Dying to yourself. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, for some of us it seems like a lifetime, it is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are what? Seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. They are eternal. So it's our responsibility to what? Make what is unseen to become. See, if you can't do that, you will always be deceived. If you cannot make what is unseen to become seen in your life, if you don't realize what's impressing you, you know how many people you'll ask, well, what's impressing you? Well, my thoughts. Well, where are your thoughts coming from? Well, they're mine. No, they're not. If you want to claim them, I'll go ahead. We must make what is unseen to become seen so that the spirit of limitation does not have hold on us to cap our growth. That the power may be of God, not of carnal strength. We must desire another level of death to self to keep the scales off of our eyes and our focus maintained. The world wants to dethrone Christ and enthrone Satan. Does everybody understand that? And you will either promote it or expose it. And that means you'll either deny Christ or follow him. Are y'all okay? Good. Matthew 16, I'm sorry. But I do like Mark 16. Everybody say,
freedom
is learned.
Trust
is earned. Matthew 16 and verse 21. And from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. So he tells his disciples all this. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Now I want you to know that a few minutes prior to this, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Then he said, and who do you say that I am? And Peter said, man, you're the Christ, man. You're the anointed one. Yeah. The anointed one, the eternal presence, power, and truth. And then now Jesus says, listen, I'm going to have to go suffer. And these are the things that are going to happen. And Peter takes him aside and rebukes him and says, man, I can't allow this to happen to you. And verse 23, but Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of what? Ah, this is powerful, because let me tell you, when you get so caught up in the mindful and the things that of men, you're coming in agreement with the spirit of what? Limitations. Me, myself, and I.
But what about me?
Spirit of limitation. Why? Self will always bring limitation in your life. I'll always bring blindness in your life. So Jesus rebukes, but he rebukes Peter, but he was actually rebuking Satan, the spirit, didn't he? He said, get me behind me, Satan. See, that's such a powerful place because even though Jesus was right there, Satan used a man to come against Jesus. Do you understand that? Right there. Right in front of Jesus. The eternal power, the presence and the glory of God Almighty that was came in the flesh, dressed as a man, carrying all eternity in him and through him. And the devil still uses a man to come against the Lord right there. But Jesus could see it. That's why we must make what is unseen to become seen. Who's using you? Why are you saying what you're saying? Why do you do what you do? Why do you believe what you believe? Who are you following? In verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to what? Come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross and what? Follow me. Now, you know, think about this for a second. The whole world is basically under a calendar. Everybody has the same date, don't we, under the whole world? It's 2009 AD. The whole world agrees that it's 2009 AD. Come on, think about this for a second. Well, what is AD? Well, everybody acknowledges that it's after the death of Christ, right? But the whole world agrees that it's 2009 AD. Yeah, after the death of Christ. Because before that, it was before Christ. The whole world acknowledges that it's 2009 AD, but will not acknowledge the Christ, because the ruler of this world wants to keep him dethroned so he can maintain his throne. But I have a surprise for him. He's lost. And I'm going to watch him get kicked out. Glory to God. And verse 25. For whoever desires to save his life will what? Lose it. So if you're here today and you're fighting for your life, and that's all you're concerned about is your education and how much money you have in the bank and your job, you're dying. You're fighting for your life. See, if Jesus Christ is truly your Savior and Lord, then you don't have a life. Your life is in His hands, not yours. But it's amazing how many times we want to take back our life. And the reason why people take back their life is because they're associated with the spirit of carnality, and it brings limitations. Of course, they go to their guru and try to get counsel on this sometimes, you know. They go to the New Age movement. They try to find some kind of pagan god that will adjust to their beliefs, not knowing that when they die, nothing stands with them. Either Christ will be with you, or you'll be alone. And if you're alone, that means the devil's with you. But he can't stand before the Lord, because he's already been judged. Are you getting this? So the spirit of limitation is not a wimp. He knows how to access, and he knows exactly how to manipulate us to become capped of growth. And he knows exactly how to steal, kill, and destroy us. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is there a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works. Hallelujah. Time is running out. Carnality is an offense to God. It tried to open the door to the spirit of limitation to Christ, but the Lord knew it. This limitation will produce spiritual cowards, unknowingly fighting for world's prosperity and acceptance and denying Christ. They are takers and not givers. Go to Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. Everybody okay? Well, you're still here, praise God. How many of y'all want the truth? Amen. No more fairy tales. No more fables. I'm glad you're not here to get your little ears comforted. You want the truth. It's our responsibility to deliver the truth and expose the enemy. This new wave is doing a lot. I love it. You will love it too if you're walking right with God. But you'll hate it if you're not. Jeremiah 18 and verse 1, it says, and a word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. So you may think that you came here to visit someone or whatever, but God caused you to hear, come here to hear the words. Well, no, I didn't have any intention. Of course you didn't. My Father brought every one of you that's here today to hear this word. And whether you hear it, reject it, or accept it, you're still accountable. Because when you stand before Him, He'll say, my servant told you. And verse 3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. Now the wheel here represents the Spirit. I want you to know that that wheel also represents the wave right now. And a vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. And I want to share this with you that it's important to understand, and we talked some about this yesterday, that when God is getting ready, you may think, you know, everything's fine, hunky-dory, things going smooth, and all of a sudden, bam!
Oh, man, what happened?
God is remolding you for another position. Are you listening? God is remolding you for another position. He doesn't always put you in position and then mold you. Not that He can't. In fact, sometimes you'll have one foot in that position, but not both, and you'll find that He does it too. Are you listening? But He begins to mold you. He'll even put you in a position to mold you, to get you ready for the next position. Are you listening? So in this, anything that your strength is in the world, in any area, is what He begins to expose. Well, I'm talented. I can play music. I can do this. I can do that. I can do construction. I can sing. I can dance. I can do art. See those eyes? Those eyes are offensive. Because our strength, our talents, and our abilities come from Him. It hurts my spirit when I see such talented individuals. Talented individuals tell me that they love the Lord and they go into secular places and play secular music and offer up music and worship to Satan for money. It's a terrible place to be. That is not a believer. That's not holy and it's not sanctified, is it? Does everybody understand? See, this wave is exposing it. So if you're here today and some things are being exposed in your life, it's because of the wave. The wave is the move of the Spirit now. The Bible says, come out from among them and don't touch anything unclean. Then I'll be a father to you and you'll be my sons and daughters. There's got to be an area of cooperation with God. He doesn't cooperate with you. You cooperate with Him. And in this wave, we are put on the potter's wheel. Don't run off. Don't jump off. Don't run. Let Him mold you. Let Him do what He needs to do. You never notice that when they... after they get done molding the clay, then they put it in the kiln? Fire. I call it put it in the kill. You know how many people run to the door? You can see their faces smushed against the window. Let me out! I can't take this heat. I can't take this molding. I can't do this. Oh, Gucci goo. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Who told you that? Spirit of limitation. Why? Because you're agreeing with the spirit of carnality that wants what it wants. The kingdom of God is not Burger King. It is not drive-thru. You're not going to get it the way you want, man. It's His way or the highway. Go to Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. Is everybody there? Ezekiel 18 and verse 30. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Well, you'll be tested. Verse 30 says, therefore I will judge you, O my people, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord. So repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that the iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a what? A new heart. You know, surgery. See, God does surgery while you're awake. So he says, get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Why? Because the other one has become contaminated and polluted by carnality, and it's caused limitations. For why should you die? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live. Repent, turn away from the worldliness, and get a new heart and a new spirit that prepares us for the next position. Go to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. Everybody knows about the story of David and Goliath. And in verse 38, David was bringing food to his brothers who were waiting for battle. And the Philistine army was on one side of a hill between a valley, and the Israelites were on the other. And Goliath was threatening and defiling the armies of Israel and the God of Israel. And everybody was afraid to go down there and fight Goliath because he was a big dude. I mean, a giant. And here comes David. And he sees what's going on. And he hears this Philistine. And he says, man, I'm not going to take this stuff. I know my God. Now, you got to understand that the anointing was on David. He was already anointed to be king. And I want you to know that this wave that is here is a kingship anointing also. In verse 38, so Saul, who was king then, clothed David with his armor, and he put on a bronze helmet on his head, so he clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them, and David said to Saul, I can't walk with these, for I've not tested them. So David took off Saul's armor. See, you can't wear somebody else's anointing. Are you listening? You cannot fight with somebody else's anointing. You must go get it yourself. And verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag and in a pouch which he had in his sling with his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a young, ruddy, and good-looking boy. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? Now I want to share with you the word dog spiritually means demonized individual. So somebody comes, did you ever notice the slang that's going around? Hey, dog! Don't let nobody call you a dog, because that means demonized individual. But that's just another ploy of the devil that brings some, because what you confess is what you possess. So you can curse somebody by just saying, hey, dog, how you doing? You call them a demonized individual. But do you understand how the trends and the fashions of this world, which are established and cut out by demonic forces? So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? He should have said, yeah. That you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. In other words, with carnality. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Now, nobody else stood up and said that, because nobody else was carrying that anointing. Not even the king. But David was carrying the kingly anointing. In this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He didn't run the opposite way. He ran toward him. Then David put in his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank in his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. Now, where is the battle? In the mind. Hello? So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of his sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they booked. And I'm sharing with you that wave that is out, that is here now, it's a kingly anointing. It is to bring God's people out in the area of warriors. Warriors with boldness. Warriors to stand strong. Warriors. A new anointing. It's a new armor to fight and overcome worldliness, the forces of evil. Removing the weapons of carnality and replacing them with the sword of the Spirit, backed by the anointing. Is everybody okay? And I'm going to close at Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3. This wave and move of the Spirit is going to expose lukewarmness. It's replacing this lukewarm stuff, double-mindedness, sitting on the fence. You're going to get knocked off the fence, and you'll go to one side or the other. Revelation chapter 3. Is everybody there? In verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If you are here today and you're backslidden and not right with God, I encourage you to take the time and go to him, ask for his forgiveness, rededicate your life to the Lord. That's all you do is say, Lord, I repent for every sin. Turn, ask for his strength and power, the Holy Spirit. And give your life to Christ. Give him your heart. And let him become Lord over your life instead of just Savior. Has everybody got it? If you are not right with God, and the rapture manifests, and you find that your loved ones are gone, and you're still left behind, it's because you missed it. Because there is something in your life that God is still offended of. If you are left behind, and you realize that many people are missing, and the body of Christ is taken, do not take the mark. Let them behead you. Let them torture you. Let them starve you to death, but do not take the mark, because it's being put in place now. You may think this is foolish, but one day you'll know. Do not take the mark. You will not be able to buy or sell without it. That's why you see the economic disasters. Everything is being forced into global economy, one world order, one world health care. Everything is falling into place. The next event that will happen is known as the rapture. So you either make the rapture or the wrath, one or the other. Don't allow the spirit of carnality to open the door to the spirit of limitation in your life. Continue to grow. Stay thirsty and hungry for the presence of God. Stay in fellowship. If you're not plugged into a church, get plugged into one. Well, I'm all right by myself. No, the devil loves lost sheep. Nobody can make it on their own. Are you listening? Don't run from your chastening. Don't run from the molding. Let God mold you. Expose you, establish you, perfect you, position you, and use you for his glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? God bless.